Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbite. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
One, two, Dave. And right, and Steve's mic isn't on, but he'll be there eventually.
My mic's there. We go. Now my mic is on. Hi, I'm Steve Ray.
Do not try this at home. We are professionals. And on the buttons, Rob Linton. Remember that.
All the little red buttons were on, but my mic still didn't work.
And we apparently, hopefully, God willing, will be taking your calls at the numbers you just heard. But before we do, so call in now. Rob is just standing there with apparently nothing to do. So we'll be getting to your calls in just a second. But first, we're going to do a little bit of the news, starting with Steve.
Well, the wait for a new iMac has just gotten a little bit longer.
So what else is new?
You mean as opposed to forever?
Forever, yeah. They're so hot, everyone wants one. The Apple Store in Buffalo has a 9-page waiting list. The CompUSA here in town has a 5-page waiting list. We only have a 1-page waiting list, so right now we're the shortest wait, apparently. But rumor has it from our regional sales rep that the White House has just ordered a whole bunch of new iMacs.
Great.
So they get first dibs.
I suspect they will.
Yes. Notice they don't say how big the pages are. They're probably Post-it notes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that on the Mac myth page, apple.com/myths, Apple's got posted a bunch of common misconceptions about the Mac. And one thing they point out is that the last two presidents, both Clinton and Bush, both use Macs in the White House. So it's a bipartisan agreement that Macs are the way to go.
Write that down. We'll post it on the website.
Really?
Dave.
Well, it's finally come true, folks. It's been a long wait, at least as far as I'm concerned. Laptop drives have always been, decent in size. I mean, they've been growing as, you know, more space. But the one thing that's always been lacking, as far as I'm concerned, has been the speed. Well, IBM and Toshiba have just announced that they're boosting the speed on their hard drives from 4,200 RPMs to 5,400 RPMs.
Which is slow by desktop comparison, but really fast for the laptop.
Which, you know, like I say, has been well needed in the industry because they've been increasing the processor speed and everything else and making things smaller and more compact. And definitely this was a well-needed device as far as speed up.
Excellent. And for the few of you out there using that operating system, what's it called? Windows. There are a couple of virus alerts. I hope you're sitting down.
A couple? Ooh,
yeah,
busy week.
Yeah, really. Slow week, actually. One is called Matcher. It's an email worm written in Visual Basic. And, of course, like almost every other worm, when you go to Outlook, if you run it, it gets all the email addresses from Outlook or Outlook Express and sends itself out. And the email says, want to find your love mates? Try this. It's cool. Looks and attitude matching to opposite sex. And then there's a little program to run. Well, those of you who've listened to Sound Bites for more than, say, 6 seconds,
really?
Know that you never, 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 never click on any program that comes to you via email. You just don't do it. I don't care what it is.
Even if it's from someone you know.
Even if it's, because they may have gotten it and sent it out and not know they sent it out because it happens automatically. So you know not to do that, but pass it on to your friends. Give them a little back
heads
of the head slap and go for it. Those of you using Microsoft's MSN Instant Messenger, there is a worm running around that. If you click on it's called Cool Worm because it's an instant message that reads, go to www.masenko-media.net/cool.html now. So you get this thing, and what happens is it then sends itself out to everybody in the MSN Messenger's address book, and it just gets to be a mess. So also, if you're running any sort of instant messenger, never, never, never click on a link that's sent to you by somebody. So those are just a few of the many viruses running around there. Never click on anything. ever.
Basically.
Yeah,
basically.
Really. Just go read a book. We're going to get to the phones now, and our first call is Fred from Livonia. Welcome, Fred. What's your question?
I'm a recent listener, and I really enjoy your show.
Love to hear that.
And I just bought a new computer, and I have ME on it.
Mm-hmm.
I heard on your show that this is no good, and I should go to XP or second edition on Windows 98.
Well, let's put it this way. There's fewer problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
as bad when it comes preloaded.
Right.
But when you try to upgrade yourself, there's a lot more.
Upgrading to ME is a massive problem, and particularly because not a lot of drivers are available for ME.
And you never saw any patches or fixes come out for it either. That's why, I get up on it because look at 98 had, 95 Windows 3 back to Windows even 3.0. They always came out with updates. There was never anything for ME.
Right. So basically, an ME machine is fine if it comes preloaded with ME and you never install anything else.
Right.
Because there's no drivers
now
for
you got it.
There you go.
So what's your question, though?
You can certainly move to something else.
But what's your question?
Well, my question was, if I do change it to Windows 98 Second Edition or XP, do I load it right on top of the ME? Or
no. XP you can.
XP, since is a newer version, you can upgrade, and it knows how to do that.
Since
98 is a downgrade, it would get confused about having two different OSs.
Well, the file structure is totally different, too, because of the way ME formats the hard drive and the way Windows 98 handles it.
If it's a brand-new machine and you don't have much data on it yet, your best bet is to copy your data off and then format the hard drive and install whatever
you
want.
The 98 CD.
How do you format the hard drive?
If you're going to go to 98 SE...
Well, say I'm going to XP, I don't have to do anything.
Oh, XP, then you don't have to do anything.
Okay.
Just put the CD in. Make sure everything is shut down in the taskbar, though. Down in the lower right-hand corner.
All right.
Make sure everything there is shut down. Then put the XP CD in, and the install the upgrade should go very smooth for you.
Okay, great.
There's also a website that you need to go to, and what I'm going to do is put it up on the Soundbites webpage. If you go to wham1180.com and go down to the lower left-hand corner of the main page, not the splash page that first comes up, but the main page, then you'll see our smiling, gorgeous faces, and you can get to our website, soundbites.org, and down in the lower right of that website is a link says I heard about a website on your show.
All right.
And that will take you to a list of the websites that we talked about. I'm going to put up a link there to take a look at the upgrade to Windows XP. You need to check your system requirements and see what you can upgrade or not upgrade from to get to XP.
All right, great.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to take a break while I put that up. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on the world's longest running radio computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM. Yes, it is. I am Nick Francesco, and sitting with me, the gold medal winner in figure computing, Dave Enright. And sitting next to him, the disputed co-gold medal winner in figure computing, Steve Ray. And on the buttons, both the bronze and silver winner, Rob Litton. And we are taking your calls. Our next caller is Doug from Penfield. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Great. Good. How are you?
I got a pesky question for you. I have a Windows 2000 professional operating system on a Pentium 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is about one out of three times I boot the machine, and it goes into this very slow mode because it appears the CPU is about 199% with the services.exe file or mstask.exe file. And if I shut everything down and bring it back up, it may go away, or it may happen two or three times in a row, and then it will work fine.
Do you have any scheduled tasks?
Yeah.
Like a virus scan or a disk defrag or scan disk or something like that?
Yeah, you'd have to check it down in the taskbar. Usually you'll see the scheduler going there. You can double-click on the scheduler and within the scheduler see what tasks are running in there.
There might be something like a defrag scheduled every 2 days or something like that, so it's trying to run that.
Isn't there also a setting, though, in 2000, if I remember correctly, though, you can have certain tasks run in the background as opposed to...
Well, even if they run in the background, they can often take up all of your resources.
Yeah.
Because
how much memory?
It depends on what the task is. and you know what it's doing. If it's a defrag or it's a, antivirus scan, it's going to run the hard drive and do everything else.
How much memory do you have?
I have 128 megs.
No. You want to get definitely, if you're running Windows 2000, 128 meg is bare minimum.
I would say.
Yeah, I'd get you up to at least 256 or 512.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
go for it. That'll help some, but check for this particular problem, check that. Check the what the services and the scheduled tasks, because that sounds like what's going on. MS Task is the scheduled task.
Oh, okay.
Manager.
The only one I know that starts up is Norton Antivirus, but
check to see what it does on startup. It may be doing a thorough scan of your entire system for some reason.
Okay.
And you can set, you know, what it does at boot up.
There's also a couple of things that, antivirus and Windows itself does, go out on the Internet to check for updates. If the Internet connection is slow at the moment, or if you're actually not connected to the Internet at the moment, it's got to wait until it times out.
Right.
Before it gets
and definitely
back.
Check your antivirus, because if it's set up to run, say, at 3 a.m. and your machine is off, it'll run when you boot up.
One other question, though. You said you put the Norton on. Is it just the Norton antivirus, or is it all those other tools like Clean Sweep and all this other
stuff? The whole system works.
It's just the antivirus.
Okay,
but one thing you mentioned about the Internet wait could be a clue here. I have a Asante USB wireless adapter, and it's like on the second floor, and the cable modem and the router is on the basement.
You may well be getting a latency and a delay getting to the network connection. In which case, and that would make sense, because now what's happened is you boot, you don't get there, you reboot, you don't get there. By that third boot, everybody's ready to talk to each other, and you get in. So maybe a little bit of patience is going to just do the same thing.
Or the other option is don't turn it off.
Exactly.
Just
right.
Turn the monitor off so you're not wasting electricity, but leave the computer running.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the help.
Thank you so much. Our next caller, Charlie from Geneva. Welcome, Charlie. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Well, great show.
Thank you.
We talked a while back. I've been getting this this pop-up comes up when I'm in running some JavaScript. I'm running, I'm running Windows 98 SE.
Okay.
It's 583 machine. I'm getting this program has done the illegal operation, and it's going to shut down. And it does. I mean, it just goes right down. I have to,
at least it does what it says.
And this is a JavaScript error?
Pardon me?
JavaScript error?
No, I'm saying it usually happens when I'm running a Java program.
Okay.
And MSN, they don't like it.
There's a lot of tricks and trouble with Java.
Yeah.
I don't say caused by Microsoft, but caused in part by Microsoft.
Right.
The Java language was originally developed by Sun, and of course Microsoft doesn't like that, so they developed their own special version of it. So if you go to a website that uses the Sun Java and you're running Microsoft Java, or Microsoft Java and you've got both Sun and Microsoft Java, there's a lot of nastiness that can
happen.
What
version of Internet Explorer are you running?
I upgraded to 6 by mistake.
No, I was going to say that might help your problems so you get it a little less.
No, I don't know.
You might also want to look at one product that we've been talking about that's free is called Opera.
Right. Yeah, I've seen this.
Other thing you might want to do, if you haven't done any of the critical updates for Windows, you should do that. Well, you got 98 SE, though. The other thing you might want to do is take a look at java.sun.com. And you can download the JRE, the Java Runtime Environment. It is the pure Java environment from Sun, and there is a Windows version that may solve your problems, but I am not going to promise.
Uh-huh. Do you want to run these Java programs, or is this just something websites do?
It's in the one site that kids use, that Pogo site.
No. Because there is a way to, in your browser preferences, to turn off Java completely.
Yeah.
But if you want to run a Java program...
Isn't it amazing what we do for our kids?
God bless them.
Yeah, you in fact, there was just an article in a paper about Internet gaming, and I think Pogo is the leader with like 10 million customers simultaneously.
Yeah, you're right. Or simultaneous.
All right. I love the clients that I get, you know, they'll try to run a business, but yet their kids are also playing their games on there.
Right. They need their own machine.
Yeah, or at lunch, everyone runs dominoes and the network goes down.
Yeah, right.
I've got a hub here, so I hope it's not affecting that.
No. If they're on a separate machine, they're all right. But try that and let us know.
Well, I kept track of some of the files that these modules were coming up in.
Right.
And a lot of them were in, I say the majority of them were the DLLs.
Right, and that would be because of, the Java language runs DLLs. Give that a try, and also update your antivirus in case that hasn't been done in a while.
Yeah, McAfee.
But definitely try that. Let us know. Okie doke.
Okay, very good. One quick question.
Sure.
Why, when I have McAfee running down in the taskbar, the system seems to slow down? I get rid of McAfee.
How fast is your system?
Pardon me?
How fast is your system?
It's 583.
Megahertz?
75 megahertz.
75 megahertz?
Right.
That's your problem.
There's just too many, a 75 megahertz machine doesn't multitask well.
There's a couple of things you can check. In your McAfee settings, there's one of them calls it paranoid mode, I forget which.
Mm-hmm.
You can set it to always scan every file every time. And that takes the most processing power and slows you down.
Right.
You want to do a thorough scan of all files, but your regular protection against viruses only needs to be against the
Yeah, and that thorough scan you can do maybe once a week.
Yeah, I do that.
Set it for dinner time.
Let it run overnight.
Yep, I do that once a week with the updates and everything from McAfee. I run it. I guess they download the updates on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, like Steve says, and then just have it run overnight. Just turn the monitor off and let it
crank. That's my Friday deal.
There you go. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Charlie. Our next caller, Bob from Henrietta. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question about updating my Internet Explorer. I happen to have Internet Explorer 5.0. Mm-hmm. I'd like to put 6.0 on.
Mm-hmm.
I have Windows NT operating system.
Yeah.
Will there be any problem with me upgrading?
None. No.
What service pack do you have installed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let me check.
You may need to upgrade your service pack first.
7? They're up to 7 now?
No, they recalled 7 and they came out with 6A.
Okay.
Well, I had a problem with that about a week ago. It had a service pack number in there. I think it's like 5 or 6.
Okay. Well, as long as you're above 4, if you're at least 5, like you say, 6 would be better. You should have no problem.
Although installing a service pack can affect other programs you have running.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so update to the latest service pack, well, at least to the 6.0a service pack first. Then update, and sometimes it goes the other way around, but with 6.0, I think you should be fine. So update to the service pack first and then update to 6.0.
Okay, now the service pack would be the latest one.
Yes.
I try to scan the Microsoft website. And it really isn't very definite about Windows NT itself.
They have discontinued NT as of last October, and they will shortly be discontinuing support for NT.
Mm-hmm.
So to everyone listening, if you're running NT, go grab the updates now because they're going to disappear pretty soon.
Yeah, right. Or make it a lot harder to find.
Yeah. There's a 120-page PDF, because I just downloaded it, on migrating NT to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of clients still running NT, and it's a very, very dry read.
Yes, it's horribly dry.
And then from NT going to 2000, just when you learn where everything is, they go and move it.
Yeah, exactly right. And then you go to XP, and they've moved it again. But at any rate, update now and think about upgrading.
Now, the Windows requirements, it says Windows Media Player 7.1. That's on the CD. It says all operating systems except NT. So that would be a good reason to go up to Windows 2000.
That would be a danged good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I will install a CD. I'm not going to play with the Windows Media Player, but as you said, the Internet Explorer 6.0 should work just fine.
Yep, there you go. Thank you. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and Rob and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Yes, it's true. We will take any computer question.
Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to answer it, but we will certainly take it. And who are we? Well, it's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and Brian from Rochester on the line. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Been with you since the VIC-20 days.
God bless you.
I was a little, it's really cool.
Thanks.
Hey, listen.
And you got the whopping 4K RAM expansion kit, didn't you?
I still have the machine.
Excellent.
It's like a little museum piece. I've got my little tiny computer museum. But I will tell you one thing, though. There's a guy in Gates running
a business. I don't know if I'm not going to mention his name, of course. Okay. But he's out there. He still runs his cash and his inventory with an Atari.
Hey, I don't doubt it. I know people who do it with Osborne's.
I know a guy with a PC Junior.
That infrared keyboard.
Yeah.
Love that, the chiclet keyboard. What's your question, Brian?
I'm running into a little bit of problem with my Dell. I had done a memory upgrade on it. And I got a little bit greedy. I put in 256 of memory upgrade. I had an open slot, and I kept the original. So that was two 128 DIMM chips.
Okay.
I got a little bit greedy and left one of my original 64 meg chips in there with it. And I was wondering, not having that parity, that, you know, the same size chips in my memory slot, would that be causing problems
with
handling attachments?
The other thing is, depending on the model of Dell that you've got, some of them can handle PC 133 memory okay, and others like PC 100 strictly.
And some of them like to have matched pairs, so it all depends on the specific specs of that motherboard.
Right.
The simple answer, Brian, is if it runs better with that 64 out, dump it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure because I didn't really notice it until I started doing some heavy attachments for work.
Until you got up and used that memory.
But you're mixing and matching three different types of memory there.
Sure, because it was trying. It runs fine until I start getting real funky with it.
Dump the 64.
Okay.
250 or 512, that'll give you.
Right. You can know he put in two 128s.
Two 128s.
Oh, I thought he said he had two 128s and a 256.
It's a 30, maybe it was a 32 or something.
Dump it.
Okay. Yeah, get rid of it.
All right, one more question. I wanted to ask you, a couple weeks ago, you had said something about the built-in sound recorder that comes right with Microsoft, right with Windows.
Yeah.
It's been there like forever since the beginning of time. One thing that I know, I was interested in putting together some voiceovers for some work I was doing, and you guys had said that I could change the time, you know, the duration of the recording on it, because the one that I have,
you can't really.
Okay. All right.
It's not a particularly good product. There is a program called Audacity.
I went out and got that. I went and did that, but I was wondering, I was just curious because I messed with it and couldn't get it much longer than like 40 seconds.
No, you can't. And so a product like Audacity, which does dang near everything you'd ever want to do with audio.
Okay.
Is the product for you. And again, I'll see about putting that up at the next break on our website.
So cool. Okay, guys.
Thank you so much. Our next caller, Brian from Macedon. We're just going to take the Brians today.
There you go. How you doing, guys?
Good. Great. How are you?
Not too bad. I had a comment on that guy's Mac be slowing his machine down. I'm looking at it now, and I believe, and tell me if I'm wrong, is I think it's the internet filter. There's a checkbox you can uncheck that says enable Java and ActiveX filter. Would that be it?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That could
help him.
Yeah.
And it's possible that that's his problem, that it's filtering out stuff like that and slowing things down and causing timing problems.
Forget that was it.
Excellent point.
Yeah. Okay. Love it when the listeners can
hear. And for gaming, Quake 2 online rules.
Yes, it does. Quake 2.
Yeah. Right, here's my question. I use Media Player 6.4 because at 7.0 and 7.1, if you notice, they took away the back and forward arrows.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate it too, so I use 6.4. And I had a bunch of AVs that were playing fine. And then what I did, like an idiot, was I went and I installed Media Player 7.1 and QuickTime, and now those AVs won't play. And I've uninstalled 7 and went back to 6.4 and uninstalled QuickTime, and these AVs say inappropriate decompressor when they used to play before.
Yeah, probably didn't uninstall everything that 7.1 put in.
Yeah, there's still remnants, believe it or not, in the registry.
So 7.1 would... plays less AVs than 6.4?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really?
Actually, it does, yeah. Isn't it a nice feature?
They want you to buy the extra compressors.
Yes. Yes, they
do.
Why do
they make something worse? I don't understand that.
Because they can.
Yeah.
No
and,
air.
And the sheep that we are just go along with it.
The arrows, that was enough to make me mad.
Yep.
Like, where the hell are my arrows?
You tried reinstalling the 6.0 and it didn't help?
Yeah, I've taken everything out, QuickTime, 7.1.
Like you said, they're going to use those 7 drivers. They're in there, and it's buried in the registry.
What's that registry cleaner?
Okay, so I'll take my other registry and start all over.
There you go.
Give it a try.
Back up. Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called
Thanks, Brian.
Easy clean.
Our next caller is Paul from Rochester. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Yeah, I put together a system for my son, which is running an AMD K6. 500.
Mm-hmm. And you messed it up. Now you need his help, and he's not around to help you get out of it.
No, what it is he finally got himself a game that won't run on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering.
Yeah, wait a minute.
See, let me tell you this.
It's not the kid. It's the father.
Yeah, right.
Can't get the game going. He's miffed. Right.
Here's the deal. He wants to run on my system, and, of course, that's what I don't want him to do.
Right. Now, is it running because it won't run on an AMD, or it's not running because 500 is too slow?
Well, when he called the helpline, and I wasn't there when he did it, but when he called the helpline, they said that the Voodoo 3 card is not the right card.
Oh, so it's the video card.
Okay. Some games are written for a specific video card, and other games will support different multiple video cards.
Right.
Yeah, or they just plain have problems. They'll usually publish a list of known issues with certain cards.
A lot of game companies are now writing to the OpenGL standard, the Open Graphics Language. It's an open source graphic environment that most of the video card companies are supporting.
Okay.
So you don't have to write drivers for the Voodoo or the NVIDIA or the 3DFX. Right. You can just write OpenGL.
But if you do have a game that requires a specific card and you don't have that card, you're basically out of luck.
Well, the other big thing, though...
The box didn't say that, though. Well, I mean, it gave no restrictions.
Well, at least he's reading the box. I get a lot of clients, though, that are going out and buying these games, and they don't bother to read the minimum requirements for these games to get them home, and they can't get it to run. They bring it into me, and you don't have enough horsepower.
Right. Yeah. The bottom line here, Paul, is that if, in fact, it doesn't run in his machine, it never will.
Okay.
And so the only thing I can tell you is to inform him that it won't run on your video card either. And
that way you keep it off your machine.
And get him out there, I was about to say shoveling driveways, but apparently it would be mowing lawns this week.
Exactly, okay.
And picking up a few bucks and doing whatever he's got to do.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Sure.
Thanks.
And as a little cautionary tale to all of you, make sure that you do read the side of the box before you pick up anything, because
ignore the minimum requirements, look at the recommended system, and double that.
And double that just to make sure it's going to run right. We are going to take another quick break, but we will be back in just a little while with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on the longest running computer show in history, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM. Rock on, Rod. Oh, sorry, wrong. The music that confused me. We're back. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and Bob from Victor waiting patiently on the line. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've got a simple question, but it's kind of
the questions are always simple, Bob.
Yeah, I know that. I know. I have a small 4-PC network that I run at the office. It's Windows 98 second edition, and one computer... you can't log on. It hangs every time you log on. But if you just hit cancel, all the other computers can see it.
Yep.
You simply can't go to the other computers from the one that you hit cancel on.
What you might want to try doing is when you get that machine up and running, do a search and do a find on PWL. That's *.pwl. It's your password list.
Okay.
And do a search on all of those and delete them all. So that when you reboot and it comes back up, create a new username and see if that resolves it.
So it could be that one of those password files has gotten corrupted so that when you try to log in and it reads that password list, it crashes.
Or if you're have you ever played around the registry?
I don't do that.
Because
in the registry, there's another, it's what they call the auto logon that sometimes can get messed up. And if you were familiar working in the registry, I'd walk you through that, but
one
I don't recommend it. Deleting the password list.
The next thing you try doing is going into the network control panel and delete everything in there, let it reboot, and then start putting your clients and your protocols and things back in.
Right. Yeah, I was afraid I would lose all my map drives and all the links and things.
Try that.
Yes, you will. So you write down your maps and links first.
Right, or try the other thing first.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Our next caller is Dick from Hilton. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
Hi. Great program, guys.
Thank you.
When I try to print something out from the Internet, my printer will print out approximately maybe 20% of the page, stop, and then go to another page. Now, it doesn't do that if I'm printing out a WordPressers document or whatever prints like it should. It's just when I'm on the Internet.
So it skips the rest of one page and then starts the
next
page?
It'll pick up where it left off, but it'll only print out, you know, just a few inches from the top, and then it stops and goes to another page.
Sounds like your page page setup might have margins that are too high, like a 6-inch bottom margin.
Yeah, does the second page print out correctly?
Yes.
A full page?
Well, no. No, then it'll print out another maybe 20% of what
there
I want.
There you go.
And his word processing, though, works okay.
Right, but
just
that would be because
setup.
You've got a page setting. There's a page. What web browser are you using?
Internet Explorer or Netscape?
Explorer.
Okay, under Internet Explorer, go to the File menu,
mm-hmm.
select Page Setup. You will see, you can pick the type of paper you have. Make sure it's letter 8.5 by 11.
Assuming right. That's what you're printing on.
The source you want, right, the source you want if it's regular plain paper. If the source you want is continuous page break, and down in the lower right-hand corner there, you'll see margins. The left should be 0.75. All four of them should be 0.75.
Okay.
If one of them is like 6 inches, if your bottom margin is 6 inches, that's where you're going to get that problem.
If that was off, wouldn't that affect it every time I tried to print out?
You said it does affect it every time you try to print out.
Not if I'm on my word processor or
no,
whatever.
That uses a different, they all have their own little settings.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sometimes, in fact, every document can have its own page setup.
Yeah. Right. So, but what it sounds like is the page setup in Internet Explorer is wrong.
Okay.
Okie doke?
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Our next caller, Bill from Rochester. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I had a question concerning digital cameras.
Yeah?
And the question is, you know, basically what I see out there is the optical versus digital zoom.
Optical is better. Digital is cheaper.
Okay. So if you got to choose between a camera of 2.2 megapixels, but it has 2x optical, 3x digital, that's better than 3.1 megapixels with only the digital zoom.
Well, it depends on a couple of issues. The megapixel count tells you how big you can make the final printout. So if you want to blow it up to 8.5 by 11, then you're going to need a 3 or 4 megapixel, well, probably 3 megapixels enough for 8.5 by 11. If you're going to take pictures of things very far away, then you want the higher zoom. And
optical is better than digital.
Optical is better. And, of course, the best thing is to have everything, a 6 megapixel with a 20x optical zoom.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Which are actually down around $1,000 now.
Get one of each.
Yeah.
There's a
really good website, DC Resource or Resources, I always forget if it's singular or plural, for digital cameras. For still digital, they have another one for motion video that I don't remember off my hand. But they have reviews and user feedback on almost all of the digital cameras that are out.
That's DC Resources?
Right.
No S.
Oh, just DCResource.com. Okay. All right. And what's your take on the AMD Athlon chip?
They're great.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem with them whatsoever.
All right.
Yeah, matter of fact, you'll save a few bucks. You know, versus going over the Pentiums.
Intel is actually having their own marketing issues the way Apple's been doing for years. The clock speeds between the AMD chips and the Intel chips don't evenly match. So like a 1.7 AMD runs at a different performance level than a 1.7 Intel. So Intel is trying to work out their own megahertz myth.
Well, the other thing, though, is they're trying to get away from this term of, you know, megahertz. You're hearing
it's
them talk about...
It's a very, very minor point in overall system.
Well, it's like I keep saying to people, you know, that's the horsepower of your engine, but what's the torque? How are you geared?
Well, that's
there's a lot more to it than just the number of horses under the hood. There's a lot more to
because
it.
Because the newer chips now are doing one extra process per cycle. You know, that doesn't sound like a heck of a lot, but in processing time, that's quite a bit. If you can squeeze it to do one more instruction per cycle, that's adding a lot versus worrying about the speed.
There have been a lot of benchmarks in the past that different companies try to use, but benchmarks are often misleading because they can be tweaked by the program you're running. So if it can do 1,000 whetstones, you know, versus another chip does 15 whetstones, you know, that's one thing. So what a lot of companies are doing is actual real-world performance. How long does it take to recalculate 100,000 cells in Excel? Or how long does it take to apply a Gaussian blur on a Photoshop page? So no one really cares about how many whetstones or how many gigaflops it can do. They want to know how fast their work can get done.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Joe from Rochester. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I was hoping you can help me with a couple of questions I've got.
Sure.
One, every 10 boots or so, I get an error. Explorer executed an invalid instruction in module kernel 32. Then it's got a long number after it. I went to Microsoft's website. I can't find anything about invalid instruction.
Is it Explorer or iExplorer?
Because
one is the Windows desktop,
yeah,
and the other is the web browser.
I think it was Explorer.
Okay.
And it's in kernel 32?
Yeah.
You've got one of two things going on here.
Okay.
Both bad.
Both bad. You could, if you're really, really lucky, have bad memory.
Okay.
If it's that...
That's usually an OD error.
Usually, but it's very possible that he's loading kernel into a flaky bit of memory, and therefore it won't run.
I hate that when that happens.
Or you're something in your actual system is corrupted. What version of Windows are you running?
It's 98 second edition.
The system file checker. You can go to start run SFC and type in SFC. That runs the system file checker. That will check the...
Integrity of all the system files. You'll need the CD.
Okay.
Or if they're on the hard drive.
Or if they're on the hard drive. But you should have the CD ready just in case.
I think I did that, but I don't think anything really showed up as far as conflicting or out of date.
Yeah.
Sometimes
also,
it doesn't know. If the corruption, since you said it only happens 1 in 10, if the corruption is...
Could be a heat could be a memory chip, and that it's heat related. You know, right, after getting heated up so long, then
try removing and reseeding your memory.
Even when it's cold, though, it'll do it.
There's also a wonderful memory checker called MemTest 86. I will put the link to that up on our website again. If you go to the WHAM1180.com website, down at the lower right is a button for us. From there, you can get a link to our website. On the lower right on our system is a link to our website.
Okay, so the invalid...
Put a big button at the top that says FAC.
Yeah,
right.
Or links.
Links. But you'll find it on our website. I'll put it up during the next commercial break.
Okay, so the invalid instruction is different from an invalid something else.
Yeah,
it's quite likely, yeah.
Okay. The other thing is I've got a laptop, and I've got a USB Ethernet adapter like this, and I'm constantly having to unplug the adapter and replug it back in to maintain my connection.
Have you updated the USB drivers?
Yep, I've done that. It's running ME. It has ME. So I listen to what you always say about ME. So I put 98 and I reformatted it into 98 second edition. That didn't solve it.
Yeah, but once you get 98 second edition, then you've got to go up to the Microsoft website and they've got a patch for the USB,
which doesn't show in the Windows update. You have to go to their download site manually.
Okay.
But that's one of the general problems with USB itself. A lot of times you have to unplug and replug it. If it's your keyboard, no big deal. But if it's your network connection, that becomes a big
deal.
That's a
big deal. Yeah, but like I say, though, it should. If you get that patch, that should alleviate a lot of the problems that you're having.
Do you have a PC card slot on the laptop?
Yeah, I guess I can use that if I have to.
Yeah, that's a better connection than USB, especially for networking.
I also have a USB zip drive, and that works fine.
Mm-hmm. See, it might be a driver issue, and it might... If you get the opportunity to put a regular PC card in, should try that.
Yeah. Okay. Did the Linksys card have specific drivers for ME?
Yeah, it does.
And now you're at 98, and you got the different specific drivers.
Yeah, see, that's why you got a set of different drivers. But give that a try.
Go for the update.
And let us know how that goes. We have to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick will be back at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. All right, today's lesson, never pork off the guy on the buttons. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Rob Linton, and we're talking to Vinny in Rochester. Welcome, Vinny. What's your question?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I've got another McAfee question. My system will slow down really noticeably with McAfee running, and without it running, I'll pick up about 8% free resources. And I'm running 384 RAM, 400 megahertz, Pentium 2, Windows 98.
Yep.
So my question is, what can be done to prevent this, and are there any virus and programs which don't do it?
Generally speaking, they're all going to do the same thing. They have to take up resources in order to run. The simple reality is that that's the price you pay for protection from viruses. Now, there are a couple of things you can look at. If you are checking everything all the time,
yeah.
you don't necessarily need to do that on a regular basis. There are two different ways you run an antivirus. Yeah. Right. There's two different things you run when you're running antivirus. One is an on-demand thing where if you load a program or get something from the internet or whatever, it gets checked. And the other is that thorough scan you do. The thorough scan should check everything on your system. On my system, although I have an incredibly fast dual processor system, it takes 3.5 hours to do a thorough scan of all the hundreds of thousands of files I've got on my system. But when I'm running normally, I'm only checking the standard programs that one checks when one is running, and it takes very little in terms of resources or speed away from the processor. So the first thing you want to check is in the setup for your antivirus what it is you're doing. And if you're doing everything, you don't need to be on a regular basis.
I don't see that setting, the on-demand setting. I'll have to go and look at it.
I called it on-demand. It's the regular McAfee setup, as opposed to the scheduled thorough scan that you want to do, you know, at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, you got to go into the setup routine of it, and from there you can tell.
Norton calls theirs Auto Protect Bloodhound.
Right.
For the continuous scan.
Right.
And I forget what McAfee calls their continuous scan.
What version of McAfee are you running?
6.0. So it's a pretty recent version.
Yeah, yeah there is. I forget.
Wasn't there a patch that made things worse and they removed it and made a new patch?
Yeah. But right. But as long as he's staying with the updates, I should have updated the engine. But there is, in the initial, you can go into this setup program, and I forget where it's buried, but you can change that.
Yeah. So, but it's somewhere in the McAfee settings that
you
tell it what
around
files to scan.
I'm afraid I don't have my computer
files.
With me. I don't have my laptop
right,
with me. I'm running their system here. So
are you referring to background settings? Right now I have system scan active, download email active, and internet filter active.
Those are all good. Mm-hmm. Now you want to go in and look at the properties for each and see that it's only doing the standard files and not the everything.
Okay, I have one other point if I could bring it up, and that is I go to the control panel, and usually it's set to large icons, but if I go in at another time, it may revert to details. How do I keep it from changing?
What version of Windows are you running?
98.
You don't. Sorry. I'm sorry. I wish I had a different answer for you, and I do not.
Okay.
It's one of those wonderful features that Microsoft sort of half way implemented, and consequently, it just simply doesn't work in 98.
Is second edition better?
No. XP is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, but that's not a DOS-based system, then.
Correct. No, it is not. It is the non-DOS-based versions. But and that's part of the problem. All the DOS-based versions have this problem. They eventually, at some point, they will come up whatever the hell they want, and nobody cares about you.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate
Sorry.
It.
Sorry. Yep. I wish I had a different answer for you for that one. But I do not, and I will not lie, nor will I lie to Ralph from Irondequoit. Welcome, Ralph. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a fairly new computer. It's an Athlon 1600 XP. 256 mega RAM, and I'm running Windows ME, and I'm on AOL, and I download a lot of music from Morpheus, and while I'm doing that, I like to listen to my media player, and all of a sudden, the system resources drops from about 73% when I start up down to about 40%, and I start having all kinds of problems.
Yep.
Is this normal, or?
Well, yes, it is.
Got to see what's first running in your system, your sys tray before you even start up some of the stuff, because if you've already got a lot loading there and then you're loading in more, there go the resources.
Well, there's not a lot down there. There's just the AOL Instant Messenger sign and MSN sign. That's about it.
Well, if you're running both AOL and MSN, they're both taking up a certain amount of system resources.
Yep.
System resources are also taken up by any background image you have running, the number of icons you have on your desktop, the number of fonts you have loaded in the system, the number of windows you have open on the desktop. So the fewer of those you have open, the better off you are. One of the things you can do in Media Player is either not run any of those cutesy-poo little visualization
graphics.
Things and or minimize the window entirely. Just put it down on the taskbar.
And a lot of times the things in the system tray, like the AIM and the MSN, are only so you can quickly launch the messaging program.
Right.
Delete that out of your system tray and just launch it manually from the program menu.
When you need
and
it.
And save those resources.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, now would XP be any better?
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing about the non-DOS-based versions of Windows is, you see, all those resources come out of something called a system heap.
Right.
Yeah, and it's only 64K on the DOS-based versions of Windows. On the non-DOS-based versions of Windows, it is bigger.
NTFS.
You still run into the problem, but it takes a lot longer.
It takes longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okie doke.
How easy is it to load XP over ME?
Very easy. Like I've been telling other listeners, is just make sure everything that you can possibly shut down in the system tray is shut down.
And it's
put the CD in, and it should go.
It also helps to go to your task manager and see what things are running there that might not put an icon in your sys tray.
Yeah.
Right. Also go to this week's site and see what the Windows XP Professional Upgrade Center is there, and you need to take a look at what you need for your system.
Okay, great.
We're
going to
take
memory.
Another break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites at 1180 WHAM. Something else, but I forget what it was. Anyway, we're going to talk about the poll now. Every week
that.
We do a poll at our site on soundbites.org. Last week's poll was a question as to whether or not you use AOL. We had 320 votes. I want to thank everybody for voting. I love to see that kind of numbers. Let's see them again.
And that actually reminds me. There was a story in the news this week. The poll was prompted in part by the telephone confusion with AOL. A lot of AOL customers are getting $1,000 phone bills because their phone calls are getting routed to Buffalo somehow. Apparently, the way the story is going, Frontier is, if you got one of these bills, is giving you a six-month moratorium where you don't have to pay it until things get straightened out. AOL will give you a free month of service.
Yeah.
Which, is, you know, cost them $20.
$20. We had 320 votes. 58% of you said, no, you're not using AOL. 28% said, I used to, but not anymore. A mere 13% of you said yes, and we had two votes for, I expect I will in the future. This week's poll is a little bit different. This week's poll is, who's the computer guru in your family? I want to thank Paul Deering for giving us this particular vote.
As you say, I got the vote before my wife did.
Right, we have 67 votes already. 93% of you say that you are. 4% of you say it's your child, and 3% of you say it's your spouse. There are a whole bunch of choices up there. Please vote in the poll, and if you've got an idea for a poll, for God's sake, send it to me. Poll ideas at soundbites.org.
Yeah, I noticed, though, you had to vote here, though, because what, Amelia already voted for you at home?
Yeah, but Amelia already voted for me at home. It was
she voted
thing.
For herself.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly, because she is. We're going to take another call now. Jim from Churchville. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, fellas. I'm on, okay?
You're on.
Yep.
I've got a G4 Mac laptop and recently purchased the Harman Kardon sound sticks, and they work beautifully. On my workstation, I've got a PowerMac G3 with two USB connections, and the speakers hook up through the USB. I can't get them to operate on the G3.
Yeah, there's some pretty strict requirements on the Harman Kardon software on what computers it will actually support. And it has to do with some of the hardware built into the new G4s, what they call the G4 digital audio line, that it supports these digital speakers. Unfortunately, the newer types of digital speakers, the Harman Kardon sound sticks, the older iSub, subwoofer, and even the new Apple Pro speakers, only work on the newest computers. For the older computers, unfortunately, it's easier to go back to an analog speaker system and use the headphone jack to plug into.
Yeah, but you can't plug the sound sticks through the headphone jack.
Right, yeah, you needed a different kind of speakers for those.
Mm-hmm.
You might have some luck going up to the Harman Multimedia website and seeing if they have drivers for the older Mac to get it to run.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran into the same problem on my Cube. I've got the Pro speakers, the little tennis ball size speakers, and wanted to get the subwoofer, but it won't work on the Cube because it wasn't new enough.
With those small speakers, and they have a different connector. You can't go through your regular sound connectors.
Yeah, the new Apple Pro speakers uses the Apple digital port.
Right. Is there a connector that will allow you to connect into my G4?
There isn't one yet that I've seen, but Griffin Technology is the company that makes a lot of the adapters like that for USB and audio. If anyone comes out with one, it will probably be them. Mm-hmm. Basically what it is the Apple speakers don't have an amplifier in the speaker, so they need to have an amplified output. So the newer Macs have an audio amplifier built into the computer and therefore can run the unamplified speakers.
Okay.
Most of the standard computer speakers you get have an amplifier in them, and that's why they can use the headphone jack, which is a very low power.
Right, right. Okay, that's my question. Thanks, guys. Great program.
Thank you. Thank you. Love to hear that. Our next caller is Joe from Fairport. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Well, hi. I have a question about my PC. I've got a Dell Dimension 4100, and it works fine, except when I try to open up Microsoft Word. I go to the Start button, go to the program, open it up. I get the little billboard in the center of my desktop that says Microsoft Word. Then I get the hourglass, and everything freezes up.
What version of Word?
2000.
And did it come with Office?
Yeah.
And the rest of Office works?
Right, yeah. And it's worked for year and a half. It just started doing this about 2 weeks ago.
And you're running an antivirus program?
I do have an antivirus program, yeah.
It's unupdated.
A lot of the viruses come through the Office Visual Basic.
Right, and it's been updated recently.
We get the...
One of the things you can try is do a search on your hard drive for normal.dot, and that's your normal document template that contains your standard fonts and margins and whatnot. And there's two issues there. That's where viruses initially live so that they can infect all your documents.
Okay.
And that's also can get corrupted now and then so that Word refuses to open.
Right.
If you rename that to something like normal.bak, the next time you launch Word, it will create a brand new default normal template. And hopefully that will fix the problem.
And if you can, make it a read-only file once it's recreated. You can select on the properties of that file, right-click on it, and say properties, and make it a read-only. Because that's one that, like Steve was saying, viruses love to attack and change and everything else, where if you make it a read-only file, nothing else can alter it.
Okay. So I find that by going to normal.dot.
Yeah,
D-O-T, document template.
Do a search for it.
Okay. Okay. And I got another question.
Yeah.
There's a place I heard about on the radio called PC Point that you can connect to and spend $15 and they'll online diagnose and repair things on your computer. Have you used that, or do you know if that's a good or bad way to approach something?
Not a word about it. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
We'll look it up.
We'll look it up. I don't know anything about it at the moment. Our next caller is Tim from Rochester. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Great show today.
Thank you.
Hey,
and every day, right, Tim?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. You'll have to excuse me. I'm a little bit of a novice with the computers, but I have a Gateway at home 450 processor. The video card went on it. Gateway sent a new one out with a new driver.
Yeah.
Replaced it. Didn't have any problems with it. And then... I don't know how. I guess one of the kids at home or something were screwing around, and they screwed up the operating system, so I had to reload the operating system.
Yeah.
Now, whenever I try to use my my FinePix viewer for the digital camera or my MS Paint,
right?
It looks almost like it's a negative image.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Two things you need to do. First, when you reloaded everything from your operating system, then did you then turn around and reload the driver from the disk that they sent you?
Yes,
the new video card.
What was that?
When you reloaded your system, after it was loaded, did you then turn around and load the new driver that they sent you with the new video card?
I tried to, yeah. I think I did it successfully, but I'm not exactly.
The other thing is you may also want to, you can actually go into the control panel and under display,
change
check on advanced, and you can see whether it's actually seeing that new video card.
Okay.
You also might want to check is the resolution and colors.
Yeah, it may well be something as simple as when you reloaded everything, you reloaded at a lower number of colors.
Like 16 colors.
16 colors or 256 colors, which is not really enough for what you're looking at. What probably happens is if you've got the right driver in, you may be able to go up to 32-bit color and see much truer color than you would get under the old driver.
It's not something that you'd notice just running Windows,
right.
But if you opened a picture, you'd notice.
Exactly. So what you want to do is right-click on the desktop, anywhere that there isn't an icon, and you'll see a drop-down menu. Select Properties. Go to the last button, which I think is
Settings.
Settings. Mm-hmm. And one of the choices on the left there will be the number of colors.
Okay.
If that's set lower than, say, 16-bit color, if it's set to 16 colors or 256 colors, as opposed to 16-bit color, which is 65,000 colors, then just change it.
And also, it might be set too high. If it's set for 32-bit color and the card can't really handle that, try setting it down to 16-bit.
Right. So play around with that, and you should get something at some point. There, that was good. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM. I'd like to apologize to everybody for that last lead-in. We all know that contact is not a verb. But our next caller is Andy from Fairport. Welcome, Andy. What's your question?
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I'm having some trouble with the sound card, I believe. I used to be able to use the line-in jack to record from external media, like a turntable or a cassette player. But now when I plug it in, I'm getting almost no sound through the speakers. I can plug it in through the microphone jack, and I get sound, but obviously it's not in stereo.
Right.
When you when you plug
it in, what's changed?
I don't know.
If you double-click on the little speaker icon, and you bring up the mixer.
Okay.
One of the choices is line in. It may be all the way down, or it may be, well, can't be muted if he hears a little something, but it may be that the sound is all the way down on it.
Yeah, I've tried that.
There's also a way to have it show additional choices in the preferences. It may not even be showing line in.
Might have blown the sound card, too.
Or it might have blown the sound card. I mean,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, if everything else works and you can open up that mixer and see that it's right, then it sounds like the sound card is not exactly 100% anymore.
Like that, he could have just blown it. Some device could have given him some surge back or whatever and just popped
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
An overpowering.
And
maybe.
Sound cards, you know, really aren't that expensive. You can get them for under $40 nowadays.
Yeah, well, I bought one today, and I just wanted to call you guys before I go through the hassle of installing
it. Go ahead.
Is it bad news to plug the receiver into the sound card? Am I
using
too much power?
No,
well, it depends on whether or not it's a powered receiver and the line-in card is willing to accept the powered receiver. You ought to read the documentation.
Yeah.
Because you certainly can blow it if it's a powered...
One thing you're going to want to do, though, before you shut down is go into the device manager in the control panel and remove your old sound card, shut the machine down, so that when you pop in this new sound card, it's going to find it.
Excellent.
And find all of the pieces of the sound card, the MIDI port, the game port.
Yeah,
a lot of most sound cards show up four or five times.
Just do that in system, in control panel?
Yeah, in the system under device manager, you'll see a lot of those things referenced under the sound card. Remove them all. Shut the machine down. You know, leave it plugged in, turned off, remove the old sound card, put in the new one.
Keep yourself grounded.
And magic will happen
times.
When you reboot.
I can't wait.
There you go.
Great show today, guys. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you so much. Mark from Irondequoit is our next caller. What's your question, Mark?
I'm running Windows 98. I have a DSL connection to the internet, and I have two computers. And I have them both sharing my connection. But I go into Network Neighborhood, and I can't see the computers.
Couple of things.
And I'm wondering what to do.
Are the computers connected to each other?
They're connected.
Or are they connected through a hub or a router?
They're connected through the cable DSL router.
Okay. Then what you need to do first is make sure that both systems have the same name for the work group.
Well, they got to have sharing.
Right, even before that, internet sharing and file sharing are two completely different functions.
Within,
you may not have file sharing set up and turned on.
Okay.
You got to do that under the network settings.
Right.
Correct. You right-click on the network icon going through the...
You got it.
You want to make sure you have the client for Microsoft Networks.
Okay.
TCP protocol, which you already have for the Internet.
All right.
And then you need file and printer sharing.
And as long as you have a router, a real router with a firewall in it, you know, a separate box that's a router firewall.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about a
then
lot of protection.
I have also seen that the network browser doesn't always work unless you put in NetBUI 2.
Yeah.
You may want to also add the NetBUI protocol.
And the other thing is once you it reboots after it adds those protocols, then you're going to have to open up My Computer, right-click on the C drive, and tell it that you want to share it.
Or any other folder you want to share.
On both computers.
Right.
Yes. This process.
Radio.
All right, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. I didn't even answer that question. What do I care? Our next caller is Don from Rochester. Welcome, Don. What's your question? And I help.
How are you? Good. I got a PowerPC 6320, and I'm having problems with my extension manager. Says it cannot be open. Type 39 error.
39 is a file corruption.
Now, this computer was unplugged for about 2 months, and I plugged it back in, and the date came up 1956. Is that a battery?
Yeah, that probably means your battery is dead.
Would that have effect on my extension manager?
No. The extension manager is probably a corrupt preference file.
Okay.
If you go into the system folder, preferences, there's an extensions manager preference folder.
Right.
It has a preference file. Yeah, tricky to say there.
Mm-hmm.
It has preference files, and it also stores all your settings files for custom sets that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
Delete the preferences, but leave your settings in just in case. If it still doesn't open, delete all the settings, too, and then you can make a new set.
Okay. And then do I start with the shift key held down?
Either way, but as long as you don't try to open Extension Manager, then it shouldn't give you the error until after you get the preferences.
So after I delete them, then restart the computer?
Right.
And that should take care of it?
It should, yep. If you're really unlucky, it's the Extension Manager itself. The actual control panel could be corrupted.
Okay.
And if that's the case, you need to delete it and then reinstall it from your system disks.
Okay, that's what was my next step. That's where I was heading.
You can do a custom install of just... Excuse me. Just that specific control panel. You don't have to do the entire system.
Right, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan.
All righty.
Give it a try. Thanks, guys.
Sure.
Thanks. Our next caller is Terry from Fairport. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Yes, my son was working on his sister's computer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, in Lyons.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's dead. I didn't do anything.
Yeah,
go
really.
Ahead, quickly.
He's in deep trouble. He tried to reload the BIOS, and he when he did that, it formatted okay, but it didn't say flash complete.
Complete.
And
ouch.
But it did the auto reboot anyway.
Uh huh.
Uh oh.
And now it won't boot at all.
Now it won't boot. All he gets is a flashing cursor. And he went through the whole procedure. He gets a checksum error. He presses F1, and he gets a blinking cursor.
Sounds like your BIOS is toasted.
You need
a physically new BIOS chip.
Yeah.
And he even tried to pull the jumper.
No, that's not going
to
do it. Once a BIOS is messed up, you're pretty much done.
Oh.
Yeah, you probably need a new BIOS chip itself.
And trying to find it for that specific motherboard.
There's a company out, what's the one you like?
MrBIOS.com, MrBIOS.com. We'll have that up on the website shortly.
Well, if you're lucky, because some of them now are soldered onto the motherboard.
Well, that's right, but at least it gives you a shot. So I'm sorry, Terry, but it's time to strap your son into a closet and leave him there for about a month until it gets fixed. And we are done for another week. I hate to say it, but... I want to thank everybody who did get in for your questions. I want to apologize to everybody we didn't get to. Please vote in the poll at soundbites.org. Please join our forums. If you couldn't get through and you've got a question, the forum is the place to find not only answers, but some really stimulating conversation. Join the forums and have some fun. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray for the phenomenally good answers, Rob Linton for keeping us all straight for time and function and everything else we're doing. Don't even touch that. I'm still drinking it. And we'll be back next Saturday at 12:20. My name is Nick Francesco, and we're done. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. God bless America.